This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Mraz. Today's show was fuller than me after an NFL Sunday. Enjoy the takes and laughs in the best of the DA show.
Paul Pierce unpredictably decided over the weekend to live stream a party that he was at. Went on Instagram Live for the entire world to see. Check it out, everybody. Look what I'm doing, which normally is fine. This brings your fans or brings viewers into your experience. We've done Instagram Live for this show. I've gone live at a couple of events as well. And so you could understand a media personality, a former athlete, live streaming, bringing your followers closer to you. The only thing was, this is no family affair. This is not something boring like, hey, check out my dry brisket for Easter dinner like Lincoln Riley. No, instead it was a party that had a lot of strippers at it. Okay. And then there was also Paul Pierce looking really bleary-eyed. And then he was openly smoking weed on the video. And all of this culminated in a really bad look for Paul Pierce. So, shortly thereafter, ESPN and Paul Pierce parted ways. ESPN clearly giving Paul Pierce the zig. Now, some people have cried out, how can you possibly fire Paul Pierce for doing legal things? And also, we've seen people survive and keep their jobs for leaked videos all the time with much worse than this. Paul Pierce was smoking weed, hanging out with strippers. That big a deal? It was a poker game with a couple of buddies. So what? How can you fire him? This is another example of cancel culture. And I would come at it from a different standpoint. Did Paul Pierce deserve to be fired over the weekend? It is where we begin your cold open.
He's a good-looking guy. He has a good beard. But check this out. My guy's about to f*** him up. He's scared. Look, he's scared. He's scared. And he's not.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
So that was from the Paul Pierce live video. We can't really play for you much more than that because there's a lot of salty language in it. Salty behavior, lewd behavior. But here's the thing. Has cancel culture gone too far, even in sports? No doubt. Absolutely no doubt. When social media comes after you with the torches and pitchforks for almost anything that they deem offensive, and they can absolutely crush you and get you fired and ruin your life and come after your family, there's no doubt we've gone too far. And that is not an argument that I would have in this instance. By and large, the attitudes of people on social media is so bizarre. I was reading to you mean tweets about my Kansas take a couple of days ago, where Bill Self got a lifetime extension at Kansas, and I said there's no way he gets that if Mario Chalmers doesn't win that one game because Derrick Rose misses free throws. And some of the takes on social media were CBS should fire you and erase all of your takes off of the internet, which is, of course, a really drastic cancel culture type of bullet to throw out there, but it's that type of thing. Like, if I don't agree with your take, you should be fired, and all of your takes are rendered completely irrelevant. You know, so I totally understand how that has gone too far. In this instance, though, for Paul Pierce, I don't think it's the wrong move. I don't think it's the incorrect move by ESPN, and here's why. ESPN is a corporation which is directed by shareholders. It is the Disney Corporation. And so when you are a publicly traded company and you've got boardrooms and CEOs and you've got stock prices and you've got all of these things that factor into the health of your company, you've got to ask yourself, are we giving off the image we want to give off to the public at large? And yes, part of that is the mob on Twitter. But part of that just is the mom and her son that are going to watch Paul Pierce on The Jump on a Thursday afternoon. Part of that is just simply being a public persona, being a broadcaster for a company. You're being a front man for a huge media division. And Paul Pierce didn't do something in private and have his video leaked unbeknownst to him. He didn't have hackers hack into his computer or his phone and release this. Paul Pierce actively, willingly, wantingly put a video of himself out there partying with strippers and smoking weed at an underground poker game. What exactly do you think you'll achieve by doing that? How else does that end? That's my question. Paul, you can't be the smartest guy, because how else do you think that action ends? Do you just think, man, I'm just having fun. I'm letting my fans into my little world. Athletes do this all the time. No biggie. Okay, but here's the thing. The Celtics might not trade you for that. The Celtics might not cut you for that. They might not shove you out of the league, and the NBA might not suspend you for that. But you're way more important to the Celtics as a perennial all-star than you are to ESPN as one of 1,000 NBA analysts. You have to also know your standing and your worth. ESPN is not in the business of putting people on television that are giving off that type of vibe. They want clearly a more palatable vibe. So when people tie this into cancel culture and how can you possibly fire Paul Pierce for doing something on his own free time? Yeah, but he willingly streamed that. He willingly put that out there. I'm going to tell you this right now. If I decided tonight to do the same thing, flying to Vegas, getting some strippers, smoking some weed, putting it on Instagram Live, I would assume by Monday, I'm not in this position anymore. That's what I would assume. If I kept the job, it would be a surprise. I mean, exactly how do you think it ends? So no, I don't disagree with ESPN doing what they did. Paul Pierce was an idiot for that moment, a complete and utter idiot. And it has nothing to do about the new legality of weed in so many places across the country. That's great. I have nothing against that. I applaud that, in fact. I'm happy we have removed the stigma of illegality around marijuana. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with what type of persona you're giving off to your audience that ESPN doesn't exactly like that persona. Surprise, Paul. You moron. Unless you didn't want to keep that job, which he tweeted the hashtag the truth shall set you free. Maybe he's free now that he got fired. Maybe he didn't want to work there, which is fine, but there's probably an easier way to go about it than releasing that video. 855-212-4CBS 855-212-4227. Mraz, when Paul Pierce had this video come out and people started popping off on social media, before ESPN decided what to do, what did you assume was going to happen?
I assumed he was getting fired. I don't know that he would have been fired 10 years ago, but I definitely assumed he was being fired.
What do you think changed over 10 years?
I mean, I think that there has definitely been different lines drawn on A, what's more available social media-wise, because you wouldn't have been able to do this 10 years ago, and B, what we have to come to the realization of what is a bad look for companies, for people that maybe we wouldn't have thought deeper on as being a bad look earlier. And honestly, we keep talking about the legalities of marijuana. I think the strippers and having them basically bouncing their booties all over the place behind them is probably the image that really was the death knell, I think, more than the weed for them.
Interesting. Okay, so Paul Pierce ends up live streaming from his home, just smoking a joint, and no strippers, and you think that he keeps his job with ESPN?
I think he might be suspended. I don't know that he's fired. I think in this day and age, we have to come to the realization of just things are different, and we have to treat women with way more class than we did years ago and understand what's different about that. And painting women on your social media in the image of, yeah, they're just here to basically bounce their booties all over the place around me. Oh, I need a massage here. I need a massage there. It just kind of gives off the creepy vibe that we are trying to get away from as far as the treatment of women right now.
Interesting. I think it's just the combination of this is Paul Pierce's night out, and that's not the image that ESPN wants to have for his for their analysts. I just think that Paul Pierce is not that important to ESPN. If this was, boy, who's their most important? If this is Barkley for TNT, I don't think Barkley gets fired. Sure. It's not a great look for Barkley, no doubt. And TNT might suspend him, might issue some type of apology. But Paul Pierce is just not that important. And if you don't realize that, if you're Paul Pierce, you're the loser in the room. Like, we are so dispensable. If you or I do something like this, we are quickly dismissed because even though we think we have value in the company, we don't have that much value to be able to survive that. Paul Pierce is not that important to them, you know? Yes. I mean, I don't know. Can Jeff Van Gundy survive this? I mean, it's really hard to believe Jeff Van Gundy smoking weed and bouncing strippers off of his lap.
That's Well, it's a simple question, I think, with the NBA on ESPN and the NBA Finals being part of ABC. Are you going to not watch now because Paul Pierce was fired? Of course not. You're going to watch the NBA players. You're going to watch the NBA Finals.
Even beyond that, would you not watch The Jump? Of course not. Of course you'd watch it. Okay, so it's Rachel Nichols and Tracy McGrady instead of Rachel Nichols and Paul Pierce.
Right, exactly. And I guess the flip side of it, like you bring up the mom with her kid who wants to settle in and watch The Jump, or maybe the NBA playoffs pregame or whatever like that. Are they more prone to turn the channel around because she feels icky about what she saw on Paul Pierce on social media? Yes. So I think that's what it comes down to.
Totally. That's what ESPN does not want to project an image of. Our analysts are doing this on their Saturday nights. We just, even if you're doing that and it's not illegal, we don't want that in people's homes. And why would you live stream that? That's the biggest thing. It didn't get leaked. Nobody was filming him at a strip club and he didn't know it, like happens plenty of times. He was live streaming his own idiocy. It's like Antonio Brown inside the locker room after that win over the Chiefs to the playoffs. AB, what do you think is going to happen when you live stream a private post-game celebration and locker room speech from your head coach? Do you think that that's going to go over well within your organization? You think they're going to be like, yeah, nice job, AB. Great use of social media. Glad you're bringing the fans into it.
There's probably a pretty simple rule here, DA, and that is if the Wizard of Watch DA will live stream it, it's good to go. If he won't, don't do it.
Well, I don't know. I think Dr. Doom would live stream that type of stuff just to get us all in terrible trouble.
Maybe.
Watch out on tomorrow's show. He's going to be taking something that you Instagram live that you didn't even know that you had in the archives that he's been sitting on for months just waiting to drop that bomb.
Expose me. Connor Green, get ready.
That's right.
Only one letter separates them, but they're galaxies apart. One is a true winner. One is a pathetic loser. This is DA's champ or chump.
Baseball's first weekend plus has been filled with a lot of cool stories, but maybe none as cool as what's happening in Detroit. Akil Baddoo was a former Class A prospect for the Tigers. Detroit does not have a lot to look forward to this season. Tigers fans are wanting anything possibly positive to sink their teeth into and look forward to, because the Tigers are in the middle of yet another rebuild and reboot. But Badu has been the unbelievable hero and living legend. Over the weekend, on his first pitch that he saw, he homered. And then hit a grand slam as well. And yesterday, in the 10th inning, with a single, drives in the game-winning run. It's a game-winning hit and walk-off celebration. Badu has done everything for the Tigers in his recent call-up. Badu was the first player in Tigers history. Now, this is more than 100 years of baseball, with home runs in his first two Major League games. He's also the first Major Leaguer since Wilson Contreras to homer on his first big league pitch. And yesterday, with the walk-off single, made him the first Tiger with a walk-off within his first three Major League games since Gabe Alvarez in 1998. And according to the Elias Sports Bureau, Badu is the first Major League player since 1900 with two home runs, a grand slam, and a walk-off hit in his first three games. How incredible! The first player since the turn of last century, 1900, who in his first three games has a walk-off win, a home run, and a grand slam. It is so cool to see what is happening. It is something, a ray of light for Tigers fans. And we will play for you the audio of Badu's walk-off coming up in soundcheck later on in the show. This is awesome, though. He is the champ.
That's DA's champ.
Okay, so the chump comes to us from Champions League Soccer. In the quarterfinals first leg between Borussia Dortmund and Manchester City, you have one of, if not the best young player in the world playing for Dortmund, and his name is Erling Haaland. He is a prolific striker. He's only 20 years old, and they're battling for him. Everybody wants a piece of him, and he is likely to end up either at Man City, Man U, Real Madrid, Barcelona. One of the elite clubs, the power clubs globally, are going to get this kid. He's 20 years old. He is an amazing scorer, and he is right now flying high. So he plays for Dortmund in this match. And after the match, which was a Man City 2-1 win, one of the refs gets his autograph on a yellow card. Oh, come on, ref. Come on! The Norwegian international puts pen to card yesterday. Apparently, this guy was an assistant or a backup Romanian official. Actually, not a backup. He was just a Romanian official. And he wanted to get the autograph of Haaland. Man City's coach is like, hey, no problem. Maybe he's a fan. The referees were brilliant in this game. That was not a problem. It was the referees, they were perfect. So you know what? We're okay with it. Yeah, I don't care how good the refs are in your game, or your match, or umpiring your game. It's not okay for these guys to get autographs. This is such a Schwartzian move. Working a game and getting an autograph of a young guy to flip it on eBay or frame it for your house to show everybody how cool you are. You're the ref. You can't be in awe of these guys. This is like in LeBron's rookie season, one of the NBA refs getting him to sign their notepad or sign the scorecard. No, you can't do it. Can you please elevate yourself above this? I'm glad the refereeing was not in question, but we know international soccer refereeing is always a problem. You can't be asking for an autograph of the player that you're reffing. This ref, this official, is your chump.
That's DA's chump. Class is now dismissed.
I will say, though, that because it is such a Schwartzian move, he works the chain gang, I believe, for one of his kids' football teams. Is that right, Mraz? One of the the youngsters' football squads?
Yeah, the JV freshman team. He's the chain gang home games. They need an extra body. He ran out of the stands to do it.
So if there is an elite player that is a ninth grader that his son is playing against, you could definitely see Schwartz asking for an autograph of that kid, thinking that he might get recruited to Penn State and Schwartz will have his autograph.
There's no question. I'll do you one better. He may not even ask for an autograph. He might actually steal the kid's glove or something like that and then post on Twitter that he has it.
So I think this will lead to tomorrow. We need an edition of Meat on the Bone to see what the latest musings of Schwartz are on social media. Are you getting anything good this week that we can use a Meat on the Bone tomorrow?
Oh, I'm prepared. I am prepared. I know that he's contacted scouts. I know he's contacted companies. There's been a lot that's happened in the last week and a half.
He's contacting scouts?
Oh, I got meat on the bone.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a good tease. Tomorrow, Meat on the Bone. But let us start with our uniforms today. Indeed, if you are watching, as I mentioned on watchda.com, you see we are all donning maroon and gold t-shirts. They say, if you're not making tacos, I don't love you no more, with a big taco shell on them. They are wonderful. They are cheesy. They are perfect for us here aboard the mothership. And these were designed and made for us by a listener, not in Rock Hill, South Carolina, home of Winthrop, but instead Boise, Idaho. Mraz, give us the background on the t-shirts we are wearing today to celebrate a wild and woolly college basketball season and NCAA tournament.
So you can download the PGP, first of all, on the Odyssey app. Me and Andrew Bogushin, Side B, broke this down a little bit, but a wonderful listener of ours in Boise, Idaho, apparently prints t-shirts and makes t-shirts. I am awaiting the name. Andrew Bogish has his name as he contacted him. It wasn't on the box back, but wanted to get shirts to us. Not only wanted to get shirts to us, DA, I also found out that he wanted to get shirts to Super Dave and Mike Pacheco from the Winthrop Radio Network. Andrew Bogish was able to kind of point guard this whole thing. He got us sizes, extra larges, little necks, little tight, little okay over here. Larges, mediums, makes all the sizes. Mm-hmm. Got them over to us. I was able to ship them out, get one to you, get one to Cap. The Dr. Doom even has one. Wow. Pete the Body has one. We all have them. And now they're made in Rock Hill, South Carolina, Winthrop Eagle colors in Boise, Idaho, which I find to be just awesome, connecting this whole thing together here on CBS Sports Radio.
They're very comfortable as well. This might be the first t-shirt we've had made of just a drop. I know when we went to Boise, remember, we had multiple listeners give us t-shirts.
Right.
And some of them were even personalized, one for you, one for me, different ones. There was one t-shirt that we had made for us that had a picture of you as the Tin Man growing up on Halloween. That was my favorite t-shirt. But we also had these really cool t-shirts made by some of our listeners that had a mothership on it along with the state of Idaho.
Yep.
So Boise has come correct in making t-shirts for us. But I don't think we've ever had a t-shirt made that just strictly had a drop on it like this one. I think this is a first. Bogish is also wearing his this morning, so we look like it's the mothership family picnic this morning. Bogues, what was the name of the Boise listener that kicked us these t-shirts?
Jason Martindale is nice enough to be the point man on this. I think it sounds like there are other people involved, but Jason is who I was talking to and who put these in the mail to get to Sean, and then they spread their way through DA Nation for us.
So we got to try to get both Mike Pacheco and Super Dave their t-shirts as well, right?
They were on the initial guest list, so to speak, but then I think they might have gotten theirs separately. They were going to originally come all to us, but then I think that Dave and Mike got their own shipment, but I could be wrong. But I know we don't have physically shirts for them right now.
Okay, but they deserve these shirts even more than we do because they did the lifting here. They made the calls viral. They made this a thing. Them buying in to using a silly drop like ours, a regular signature phrase, was all of them. So I hope that Friedman and Mike Pacheco are in solidarity with us today, waking up in bed, wearing their taco t-shirts and bleary-eyed going to get a bowl of cereal this morning, reminiscing over
calling the Indianapolis Fire Department because the Nets are on fire.
DA, also, I can't stress enough, it is crazy to think that we got to the point in this bit where a listener's made T-shirts, we are all wearing them like the family picnic today, and we laughed at Pete the Body Bilotti when he suggested this as a drop for Super Dave. We said, Pete, too long. Come on, understand the bit here. This isn't going to work. And it's gotten to the point we have T-shirts made for the bit.
I was thinking, what are the shortest drops we have? That's what you would work into a play-by-play call. Bogish knows this from doing play-by-play for so long. What you want to do is work it in seamlessly so that it's like a Mike Breen, yes. No, Marv Albert, yes. Breen's is bang. These are one-word signature catchphrases in basketball. Sometimes you get a yes, sir, maybe a oh, yeah, like Iron Eagle, but you're looking at one to two words for a good bucket. When Pete suggested, why don't you guys have him do the taco drop? I'm thinking, Pete, how is he going to work in ball swings from the left to right elbow, kicks it out wide, Johnson for three, it's good. If you're not making tacos, I don't love you no more. Winthrop leads 34-32. I mean, there's just no way to work that in, and yet, it was the perfect drop because the more insane the drop was, the more effective the catchphrase was for a play-by-play call. And as Iron Eagle broke down to the show, there is something about this call that is just perfect from a word standpoint. Tacos? Tacos is just like a symbol of being happy. Everybody loves tacos. I mean, LeBron James tried to trademark Taco Tuesday. So everybody loves eating tacos. It's an emoji, so it's like a fun food that you could just quickly text at people. Also, if you're not making tacos, I don't love you no more, suggest there is a relationship thing dynamic on the line. That I love tacos so much that if you don't give me those tacos, this thing is over right now. I don't love you no more. And as Ian also pointed out, divorce rate is at an all-time high, and so you want to make sure that you're talking to an audience. They understand the wedge issues in a marriage. It had it all, and Pete was so ahead of the curve on this. I'm thinking there's no way Super Dave can work. We're lucky if he says little wet, little drippy. That's four words. He's going to work in a Charles in Louisiana saying, if you're not making tacos, I don't love you no more. Or as Jimmy Johnson says, but and yet... It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And, I mean, all credit to you, Pete. I don't know how you saw this. You had the vision, but you saw it becoming a thing, and it was money.
It was the wild and wackiness of it that inspired me. I feel like, as you said, the more wacky, the better, and it worked.
I'd say. It worked. It's gold. It's now radio gold. I mean, everybody around the country, we're sitting in front of pirated streams of an NCAA tournament game waiting for these guys to say tacos. During
if you're not making tacos, I don't love you no more.
I don't know how Pete saw it, but we can't see him. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I assume he's wearing his shirt as well, but I can't tell.
Loose neck.
We've got the camera on Pete right now back at the studio, and the lights aren't working. They haven't worked for months, I guess, in the studio. And so it looks like on your old like movie camera when you're trying to film the kid blowing out his candles at the cake and they have the lights off and you're like, I can't see. We can only see the candlelight. It's like flickering. There's Pete blowing out the candles on his eighth birthday.
The emergency light during a power outage. That's what I have.
One dim bulb over Tiki and Tierney's side.
Yeah, of course. Got to get Tiki and Tierney lit up. And I can see a very faint yellow circle in the middle of the screen. Everything else is just different shades of gray and black.
I put that yellow circle there.
By the way, do we need to listen to Pete more since he was right about this, or we still ignore most of his suggestions going forward?
He earned his stripes now. Now we got to listen to his suggestions.
More thing before the show ends today. You guys are going to have to show your muscles in these tight shirts.
I'm ready.
Absolutely. Good.
I'm ready. Yesterday, your attempt at a bicep was so sad.
It was so sad.
And for you to say it's because my muscle sank to the bottom. I mean, it just is so sad.
I pumped more iron. I'm ready to go again today. I'm ready for a trial, too.
Yeah, what'd you do yesterday to get your biceps going?
I did a lot of curls. I was using the 40-pound weights. I repped it up to 45. I was really pumping and getting the blood all tight and the veins all tight. I'm ready. No flapjack in here today.
Those king-size stitches are very hairy, huh?
Did you learn how to flex yesterday? I feel like that was your problem, that you didn't know what we were asking you
to do.
Because you were just bending your arm at the elbow, like, here's my muscle.
Scratched ear.
It's like when my little sister used to say, I have muscles, and she would bend her arm and point to her elbow.
No,
look at my muscles. That's not a muscle. That's
I was trying
elbow.
To go for the tightest grip possible to make it pop. That's all that was going on.
And right now, Cap has the most amazing graphic. This is why he's Dr. Doom. There is a picture of Mraz's flabby arm fake flex with James Franco's head on it. Because yesterday I said, Mraz, who has a handsome body that you would like to emulate? And he said, James Franco. He's a handsome man. And looking at James Franco having let himself go. After Pineapple Express 3, this is straight to DVD. This is what James Franco looks like.
Yeah. Did James Franco eat Seth Rogen? Is that what happened here?
Pineapple pizza. Oh,
that's amazing. That's amazing. So you can watch at watchda.com as we are wearing the Mraz family picnic. Oh, my goodness. And now Cap has...
The catalog.
Cap has whipped up a Photoshop meme of Seth Rogen and Mraz over James Franco's body at a premiere event. They're on the red carpet of a premiere. This is for the interview. That was the one where they were, what, kidnapped by some international dictator or something like this? Right?
Or Kim Jong-un, I think they befriended. It was on Netflix only. It was a big hit.
It was controversial, though.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is Mraz on James Franco's body at the debut, the premiere of The Interview with Seth Rogen on the red carpet.
Still no neck.
Still no neck. All right, so you can check us out on the simulcast at watchda.com as well as on Twitch to check out the family picnic style taco t-shirts we're all wearing this morning. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. It is officially time to start getting worried about the Nets' injuries, because now that Kevin Durant has missed the last 27 games, he is now set to come back. But right as he's set to come back, James Harden is now exiting. He is injured. And so the Nets, who have only played 7 games the entire season with their big three, James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving, are once again one man in, one man out. You know what? Chemistry obviously is a question. James Harden's going to miss the next 10 days. When you have these guys, they can all be ball-dominant guys. They could all be a little in their own world guys. Certainly Kyrie and Kevin Durant have been ultra-sensitive guys. James Harden's been a terrible guy in the clutch in the playoffs. There's a lot of questions on the floor just in terms of performance. But I'm less worried about that, because when they have played together, they've looked awesome. And individually, they have looked awesome at times. Harden has looked like one of the best players in basketball yet again. And Kyrie has ceded him the position of point guard. And Kevin Durant has played to win championships before and been an NBA Finals MVP. So in a vacuum, those guys playing together in the NBA playoffs, deep into the Eastern Conference playoffs and the NBA Finals, I have less worry about that. That I can actually see, I can envision working. But it is a worry that none of them can stay healthy. Is this just the type of thing where they're injured all season long and then suddenly they go, oh, it's the playoffs, and now we're really going to be out there banging through the injuries and gutting it out? Or is this just a bunch of brittle dudes? Kyrie taking his time off for personal maintenance and birthday parties and his heart's not in it and all of that type of stuff. Okay. Kevin Durant out seemingly forever. He's missed 27 games. That's almost half the season. Now, James Harden, again, seemed to be in great shape after he left the Rockets, and now he's out for the next 10 days. Officially, the Nets cannot be on the floor together. They can't find a way to be on the floor together because it's always something. That's my bigger concern. The chemistry issues, they've proven, they can figure that out. They've proven also that they're ready to defer to one another. And they have a cold-blooded killer basketball style in Kevin Durant when it matters most. He's done it before, and Kyrie hit one of the biggest shots in NBA history. So they've proven in their own ways to be able to succeed with this group, I would say. What they haven't proven is that they can actually be on the floor together. And so that has to be the concern here. Now it's official. We've got a month to go before the playoffs. How many games will they all get together because of injury? I mean, they might all get 15 games together, maybe. So they'll go into the playoffs, expected to win a championship and get through a rough and tumble Eastern Conference, and have only played together 15 times because something is always up with one of them. Mraz, that's my concern about the Nets. It's not so much the chemistry if they are on the floor. It's that it's only going to get more intense when we get to the playoffs and a quicker turnaround for these games. Are they going to be able to stay on the floor to play together?
It's a completely valid concern. Completely valid. The only thing that makes me feel much better about this, they haven't missed a beat when any of these guys have been out. All they have done is continue to win and continue to press to be the number one seed while Kevin Durant was out, while Kyrie was out. A lot of that was because of how great James Harden was playing. Now Harden's out and Durant comes back. Had they lost a ton of these games and they were just sitting there, oh my goodness, are they going to get the four or the five seed, then face an even tougher draw in the second round? Yeah, maybe that would worry me a little more. I do ultimately have concerns because if you lose two of the three, suddenly that is a major issue. I do feel pretty confident in thinking that no matter what, at least when the playoffs start, they will have two of the three. But you hold your breath now as Kevin Durant re-enters this team tonight versus the Pelicans. That hamstring has to hold up while James Harden is out and beyond. This is it. As you said, a month left in the season. Durant can't go on the shelf again from this point forward. A week from tonight, DA, it is their last game left with the Philadelphia 76ers. That game very well, with these teams being neck and neck, could determine who has the one seed in the East. Is Durant going to be healthy these next couple nights to get them to that game on Wednesday night? And they now know they won't have James Harden for that game. So there is some big-time basketball coming up for them, and those are all valid concerns.
They need all three of those guys to win a championship. They need all three of those guys on the floor together to get to an NBA Finals. That is the expectation. Anything else is going to be a disappointment. Now the question is, 1 month to go in the regular season, can they all get healthy enough to actually be on the floor together?
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And remember to listen to the DA Show in podcast form whenever it is that you want to listen to it. It's DA On Demand. Full episodes or the best of available on your favorite podcast platform. Just go there and search The DA Show or the Permission Granted Podcast and find it, upload it, and enjoy it. In fact, the PGP brand new episode is out now. We start with Soundcheck with Robbie Anderson. Now, Robbie was a former New York Jets wide receiver, turned Panthers wide receiver, and now his former quarterback in New York, Sam Darnold, is going to be joining him in Carolina. Here is Robbie Anderson on Good Morning Football on the NFL Network.
You know, me personally speaking, I just think Sam kind of his development was not correct. You know, with the Jets, I think he didn't have the best support cast around him and the best coaching to get him to his full potential.
He didn't have the best supporting cast or the best coaching to get to his full potential. I said this yesterday. I'll echo this throughout the season. If Sam Darnold can't succeed in Carolina, he's a bum. He's a bust because he's got it all now in Carolina. He's got Robbie Anderson, a guy that he's familiar with from his Jets days. He's got two good wide receivers. He's got the best all-around back in football in Christian McCaffrey. And he's got the offensive coordinator that helped lead Joe Burrow and the LSU Tigers to the greatest offensive season ever in college football history in Joe Brady. Sam Darnold has no more excuses not to do it. So if he doesn't succeed in Carolina, we can't keep banging on Adam Gase about what a bum Gase is, what a joke he was, what a clown show was in New York, how they never supported Sam Darnold. You know, it right now, that narrative works, and I've been banging the drum on the narrative because I believe Darnold is so much better than he has shown. If he is not, then the Jets drafted a bust. Adam Gase isn't as bad as we thought. And the Jets' problem was not just they didn't support Sam Darnold. It was also the quarterback himself. Everybody keeps saying that the coaching was terrible in New York. And I believe it. I believe it. But he can't be terrible forever and us keep blaming the coaching in New York. So we'll see. It's up to Darnold now to change that narrative. But there's Robbie Anderson, a guy that was playing in New York, admitting that the coaching in New York sucked. Not surprising. Here is Carlos Dunlap, who re-signed with the Seahawks recently, and said part of the reason that he did re-sign with Seattle is because he got acknowledgement from Russell Wilson that Russ is coming back to quarterback the team.
I did ask him if obviously he was going to be with us, because if I'm coming back, I'm coming back because I see him as my quarterback. And the rest of the team, I want to pick up where we left off. And he told me that he's with us and he's here to stay. And he said, you know, let's go Hawks. And I'm not going to quote his every word, or these words are not his words verbatim, but these are my explanation of how I interpreted what he said.
He's with us for now, I think is the way that you would have to say it. Because Russell Wilson is not getting traded. If the Seahawks wouldn't take the Bears' offer for Russ, which was a godfather offer, here's all of our first-round draft picks for the next 10 years, if they're not accepting that, they're not accepting a deal for Russell Wilson at the moment, because they don't have a better solution than Russell Wilson at the moment. Who would? He's one of the best quarterbacks in football. And so the Seahawks are running into the season also knowing they don't have to eat the $40 million on Russ. So it's not surprising that Russell Wilson would say, I'm with you guys right now, I'm the quarterback. He knows there's no way out right now in Seattle. But could he end up traded next offseason? Certainly this is a story worth monitoring for the foreseeable future. Because he's not going to get traded this offseason, but that doesn't mean that he's going to be a Seahawk for life. In fact, Warren Moon, who's a former Seahawk quarterback himself and an analyst for the radio team for the Seahawks, just said recently that he thinks that ultimately they are headed for divorce, but not this offseason. So I think Russell is telling his teammate, yeah, I'm your quarterback. Knowing that for now he's the quarterback going into the season, but it is subject to change a year from now. And finally, one of the heroes of the opening weekend plus of the Major League Baseball season, Akil Baddoo. This young rookie has been a sensation. He's had a home run on the first pitch that he saw, a grand slam, and yesterday did this in extra innings. This is audio courtesy of Valley Sports Detroit.
2-1.
He got
just
it!
Just like that, the Hollywood script continues! Akil Baddoo wears a crown to give the Tigers the win!
This is some kind of awesome, isn't it?
Akil Baddoo is the first guy since 1900 that Elias can find that in his first three games had a home run, a grand slam, and a walk-off win. Amazing. And this dude, nobody expected any of this. And he is just making it happen. It's one of those stories in baseball that you just love to see. The out-of-nowhere prospect get a shot and then suddenly become an overnight sensation. Akil Baddoo might not end up being an everyday starter for the Tigers. He might not end up being a great all-star player for the Tigers. But this is one of those names in baseball history that you will remember 10 years from now. Remember the April where Akil Baddoo just was killing it? Remember Akil Baddoo's April in 2021? That was awesome. That's what it's going to be. We all have those kind of inter-franchise team heroes that just splashed, and you tend to remember them for being even greater than they were. That's going to be Badu. By the end of the season, if he only had a great April, it's going to feel like he had a great season. And then 10 years from now, it's going to be like, yeah, he was around for like 5 years, wasn't he? That's what's great about baseball.
And that's baseball, Susan.
855-212-4CBS is that phone number. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. Also, the MLB Player of the Week brought to you by AutoZone. Just talking about him right there. Tigers outfielder Akil Badu, homering on his first Major League Baseball pitch on Sunday, blasting a grand slam in his second game, that the game-winning hit yesterday. The Rule 5 selection, never even made it to the majors in 4 years of the Twins organization, and finally does so and is making the most out of his moment. The Player of the Week brought to you by AutoZone, what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination, because they offer free battery testing and charging and reliable replacement batteries. And they've always got your battery solution. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Standing by, kind sir, headlines, Andrew Bogish, Bogeyman, take it away.
DA, thanks so much. Another historic night at Yankee Stadium. Jay Bruce earning his pinstripes.
Pitch to Bruce. Swung on, hit high in the air to right. Back goes Santander. He's on the track. He's at the wall, and she's gone! The first home run by Jay Bruce in a Yankee uniform. The Bruce is loose.
Now, yesterday, we gave John Sterling, or at least I did, credit for being creative, tweaking his Giancarlo Stanton home run call.
Right.
This morning, I feel like the Bruce is loose was the easy way out here for Jay Bruce. I don't know, because his days might be numbered once Luke Voit is healthy. Maybe he goes off the roster, so John didn't want to do a deep dive on this. But I think the Bruce is loose really is just kind of punting on Jay Bruce home run calls.
Couldn't agree more. It's mailing it in. For a guy that just sang show tunes the other day for Giancarlo Stanton to just give us a Bruce is loose. Also, remember, for a lot of his home run calls, there's two phrases, catchphrases in each home run call. The fact that he only gives us Bruce is loose means that he just found out that Bruce was in the lineup 5 minutes before the game and said, what can I come up with? You know what? Bruce is loose, and we'll go from there. Mraz, this is a mail-it-in situation for Sterling.
Yeah, and he didn't even use the best rhyming word either. I mean, you could have gone with juiced. He juiced one or something like that with Bruce. How about the Jay Hay Kid? I mean, these are very simple ones. Just to go Bruce is loose is a layup. It's frankly a little lazy by John, especially after the show tunes with Giancarlo. Entirely frustrating.
Yes. Non de Medicar, that ball sure traveled far.
He just did that for Giancarlo Stanton and then just gives us a Bruce is loose. To use a Mraz phrase, it's insulting. We sit here every single day and listen nightly for a John Sterling show tune. We want something to replay for you back on the show the next day to laugh about and have a bit about, and you give us the Bruce is loose? Come on, John. 82 years of the game, you give us a Bruce is loose? I mean, I could have come up with that, and that's bad. I mean, that's really mailing it in. Frankly, that's like Shep giving you your catchphrases, okay?
Oh.
You know, Mr. Sterling, you're a living legend, okay? You're a living legend. I would never tell the great Hall of Fame voice, John Sterling, what to do. But I was just thinking, for Jay Bruce, what do you think, maybe? The Bruce is loose? I mean, I would never want to tell you what to do, but I'm just suggesting the Bruce is loose. It's not bad, is it? It's not bad, is it?
So Shep has become Chris Rock as well. I think.
I was going to say, he sounds like a blind blues musician. That's what I hear. You're doing your Shep.
It's a good Shep, but it is a little Chris Rocky blind blues magician.
If John, I'm not harder on myself, no one else has to be.
Susan, so nice to see you. You're a beautiful woman. Of course, I would hold open the door if I could hold open the door for you, Susan. But I'm just not. I just want to talk to John at the moment. John, I just got back from walking the 14 German Shepherds, and I just had an idea. I would never want to tell you what to do or what to say. But what would you say about Jay Bruce? Listen, Juice, Bruce, loose. I'm just saying, John, I'm just saying.
Susan, call security. I'll use it to get this guy out of here.
Young man, just please leave.
Call 1-800-8-MILLION to get Shep out of the box.
I have no idea.
Oh, how about...
How do we get...
How about Bruce? His bat is made of spruce.
Bad.
That's wood, no?
Even worse.
Really bad.
I mean, I was thinking you got an entire Bruce Springsteen catalog. There's, and I don't know enough Bruce songs, but there's got to be a song somewhere in there that would make sense that he could sing after a Jay Bruce home run. Or even call him the boss.
Yeah, the boss works. Or as Merez said, he juices one. It's juiced. The Bruce
allegedly
is loose. You know, there's plenty of ways to do this, but just a little Bruce is loose. Come on, do something.
It should be noted, to give Sterling a break, the Yankees did trade for Rougned Odor yesterday, and the thought is because Bruce stinks, he's going to be in the lineup very soon, and Bruce will be out, so maybe that is part of it.
So basically you're telling me that John Sterling had been working all day in his Rougned Odor home run call.
Odor, nothing smells here.
Uh-huh. I could see it.
Yeah, John's efficient. He's got one or two Jay Bruce homers, so he's not wasting his good material or a lot of time on a home run call.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
I'm an idiot. The person that sent this to me on Twitter, his name is Daryl or Darrell. I don't know. I should. I asked, didn't get an answer yet. So either way, I thank him for sending this because this is a grave situation that we all
Darryl's
need
awesome
to know about.
He tweets at us regularly. I always call him Daryl in Southeast Kansas, right?
Yes. So we'll go with Daryl, and we thank him again because we all need to plan accordingly for this. We apparently are staring in the face a ketchup shortage here in the United States. Now, I have not experienced this yet personally, but apparently it is hard in certain places to get ketchup right now, like it's toilet paper. In particular, the single-serve ketchup, the packets that you get from restaurants and takeout places in real short supply because so many more people have to obviously be eating just takeout these days. As of July, a 300% increase in sales of the single-serve packets. Long John Silver's, that great chain, says they've spent an extra $500K procuring ketchup for their restaurants right now. So if you're working in a restaurant, you got to be careful. You got to be frugal with the packets you throw in the bags. You can't overuse them. And I guess if you're us, working at home, living at home, you got to stock up on ketchup as much as you can because you can't not have ketchup. And I don't know, guys, this is like my favorite thing. There are times where I want ketchup, so I have a hot dog or french fries. I don't want the other thing to put ketchup. That's how much I love ketchup. So this can't get any worse than it apparently is already.
So to prevent our listeners from panicking and buying all the ketchup everywhere like toilet paper, this is mostly just ketchup packets, okay? Because here's the deal. It's not like we have a shortage on tomato production or actually creating ketchup. It's that because of the pandemic, as you just said, everybody's eating out more and you're not sitting down at a restaurant with those communal bottles of ketchup. That's a multi-touch point. That can be a dangerous spot for COVID spread. So every restaurant's done away with the communal bottle of ketchup, which means they have to go to just ketchup packets, which means the ketchup packet shortage is a shortage, not just ketchup in general. These restaurants can find big vats of ketchup. They can't find the ketchup packets. So, Merez, the first part is, when your deli put the ketchup packet into Taylor's Easter egg over the weekend, that actually, they were hiding gold inside that egg. You shouldn't have made fun of them.
It's a great point, DA, and now I wonder, is this more valuable than the Starburst we had? I've still kept it here. I will say, though, Chef's Quality Ketchup is the company. Something tells me bit of a knockoff brand. I'm not getting as high a quality here, and maybe more restaurants have to settle for the Chef's Quality Ketchup, so maybe it's not gold.
That's exactly right. Now, the story that Bogus passed along is amazing. It says that Heinz has 70% of the ketchup market. 70%.
Wow.
But now these restaurants can't find the Heinz packet, so they're going to other companies. Mraz, do you have a second favorite ketchup company? My guess is that you love Heinz the most.
I have Heinz. I don't know. I guess Hunt's. I've seen in the fridge every once in a while.
And then what do you have in front of you?
This is Chef's Quality. Chef's Quality.
Okay, so there's a Hunt's, there's a Chef's Quality.
Yeah, and there's also, I know this because Dan Silverman once told me he left a date that only at a restaurant only had Sir Kensington's ketchup, and he went across the street to a Rite Aid to get the Heinz and then come back, and his date thought he was at the bathroom. So apparently Sir Kensington's is out there too, but that's how much people long for Heinz that they would leave a date there on to go get it.
Here's my question. Heinz is obviously the GOAT when it comes to ketchup. I haven't had Sir Kensington's. I like their mayo very much. I haven't had their ketchup. Is there a reasonable substitute to Heinz, or will you only enjoy Heinz ketchup?
I haven't been faced with ever never having to really buy Heinz, right? Like, so I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know that I ever really had any of these other ketchups. So I don't want to act like a ketchup snob and rain on somebody else's ketchup parade. But I might be faced with this problem. And you're telling people not to panic buy. DA, that's the point. You, if you're ordering food to go, better have your own Heinz because you're not going to get enough ketchup packets. And also, on an added note, hopefully this further gets rid of ketchup packets in general because the bang for your buck there on
it's
ketchup
terrible.
Packets. It's
terrible.
I mean, basically,
terrible.
It's like I get one ketchup packet squirt out of a French fries worth. It just, there's too much wasted ketchup within a packet. It doesn't translate well. It's like, you know, a guy like Garza at Iowa, you know he's not going to be a big first-round pick in the NBA. The translation doesn't work there. Ketchup packet to what you need.
Now you're starting to get a little bit of the bigger tubs that Heinz is doing where you're peeling back the top off the tub. That's much better because that's kind of probably 3 to 4 packets. So that's better. But I'm with you. The ketchup packets, it's lame. Like, if I go and get takeout and they throw me a bunch of ketchup packets, I'm like, oh, man, this is such a waste. I got to go wait to get home for real ketchup because you're right. You just don't get enough in there. It's just too much work, too much labor. It's like, you know, running the football every down in a 12-play drive. Just get the ball in the air. Let's get some chunk plays here. I don't want everything to be a 3-yard game.
No doubt. I don't know if you've been faced with this problem, either of you, but oftentimes I find the ketchup packet, every once in a while, they're very tough to open, and then I got to go with the bite and peel off, and then there's been times I bit it off, and the ketchup has squirted out. It's hit me in the head, whatever, and now I've gone through the work of opening up my teeth, and I've lost the most of the ketchup in that packet. It is just not frugal, so ketchup packet problems are big all over this country, but I think having a crisis might allow more people to think outside the box and end ketchup packets forever.
So there are companies now, restaurants, that can't find the Heinz ketchup packets, have to switch to something else, a Hunt's, say, and have had to apologize to their restaurant goers.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we only have Hunt's nowadays. That's how much people are crushed by this. But it's also bringing up this point, you know, if you work at a diner or a restaurant, what have you, you combine the old ketchup bottles into one ketchup bottle. And so that saves on buying ketchup. You can't do that anymore because I don't think we're ever going to go back to communal ketchup squirts and ketchup bottles. So Heinz is trying to develop new technology. They're trying to go touchless ketchup dispenser. I guess you wave your hot dog under it or you wave your burger or fries and I guess it senses that it's under there and squirts the ketchup automatically. Guys, how do we feel about automatic ketchup sensors?
So I am enamored, Bogus, I'll let you answer a second. I'm enamored with that technology. My only question would be, no two people are the same with the amount of ketchup they want, and there's no way to figure that out universally.
Yeah,
that sounds like it's prime for making a mess. That doesn't mean a lot of R&D trial and error on this to figure out how I can get this on my burger. How do I not get it on my hand as I'm waving whatever I want the ketchup on underneath? If I want more, what do I do? That seems like that's going to get some ketchup on my Jacob deGrom Mets jersey the first time I'm using that at Citi Field. That kind of spooks me just a little bit there. But I want to go back if I can, DA.
Yeah.
Sean didn't want to be a ketchup snob. I will be.
Oh.
I have definitely judged places on their choice for Hunt's over Heinz. So they'd have to apologize to me for giving me Hunt's at this point. I would gladly need and accept that apology.
I have two more points on this. Who knew that this would be like a 10-minute segment on ketchup? When we get back to ballparks, will we still have the pump and dump dispensers of ketchup and mustard and relish? My guess is no, which means ballparks are probably doing the packets as well, which I don't want to have to deal with 10 packets of ketchup on my hot dog or burger going to a baseball game. It's too much work and labor there. Without the pump and dump communal dispensers, Mraz, we're in trouble, I think, at ballparks.
That's going to bother me. I would just hire somebody to sit at the pump, wear a glove, and they got to pump it on for you.
Okay.
So not that would be the way I'd go personally.
Like a doorman or an elevator guy for your ketchup.
Right. Hire a ketchup guy. Another job we can use.
So instead of a guy giving you wine, he's giving you your ketchup.
Yes.
And finally, Dan Silverman, who has filled in on the board for us before when Pete the Body Bellotti's been out, are you telling me he went on a date, He sat down at a restaurant, saw that they did not have Heinz ketchup, left the date, went across the street to a Walgreens, bought Heinz ketchup, came back to the date when his date thought he was going to the bathroom, and then secretly put the Heinz ketchup on whatever he ordered without her knowing?
Well, no, there was no secret. He came back with it in the bag and put it on the table, and she was very perplexed. So the legend goes, or the story goes, he told me. And she ended up getting a good laugh about it. And I said, well, you're still seeing this girl? And he said, no. I said, well, you think maybe that had something to do with it, that you're the weirdo that left the restaurant. And his whole point was, I couldn't enjoy my date with Sir Kensington's on the face.
Good job, Dan.
Imagine being that dedicated to Hind that you up and leave a date to go across the street to buy more ketchup. I think we might need Silverman on the show to discuss this come like July 18th. That feels like a July 18th interview here on the DA show. It's Class Reunion with Dan Silverman as we hearken back to his 2019 date with Kelly. So we're all wearing our Mraz Family Picnic t-shirts here together, but with them are Ringer t-shirts. And so it's time, guys, to flex. I want to see everybody's biceps because Mraz gave us his bicep yesterday and it was lacking, I would say. But he did some curls, right, Mraz? You said you did some curls?
Oh, yeah. I had the 40-pounders, the 45-pounders. You should have seen me in the gym yesterday rolling right up to breast and I was ready to go.
Okay. So, Bogus, you can start us off. Give us your best bicep.
Well, I mean, I did have ham and chocolate yesterday, DA, Easter leftovers, so I don't know how good this is going to look. I don't think it's sunk too much to the bottom, but let me get this on camera.
Maybe
for
you can get the right way. Full screen shot here, Cap, for the...
Are you ready?
Wow, that's nothing. Oh, okay, there's a little something there.
It's a little something. You can draw a line under here if you want.
Okay, that's a medium. That's a medium bicep. All right, not bad. Not bad. And you said you've been working out as well, right, to cut some weight?
Not 45-pound bicep curls. Good for Shawnee.
All right, I'm going to go next here.
Don't stretch.
Nice.
DA's stretching it out here.
No, he can hear the crowd.
I'm doing my John Wall.
Oh.
All right.
Wow, that's a surprising camel hump you got there.
Yeah. How much of that meat weigh that you've been smoking? You carrying the smoker around? What's going on there?
Well, I like to stay healthy. I don't brag about it, but I like to stay healthy. I do my sit-ups and my push-ups, and I walk and I run, and I try to stay active. And, you know, hey, you got to be country strong up here, too. You know, it's spring cleaning season. I'm taking down trees. I'm hauling bales of hay for the cows, you know, all that type of stuff.
It's the farm work and the skiing has really helped DA here upstate.
All right, and now, Mraz, let's see what you got here. Yesterday, it was a sad sight. You had your muscle fall to the bottom, you said, of your arm. It has fallen down the stairs.
Yes, all right. Here we go. Oof. All right, I understand what's here.
Ooh, okay, Cap, can we get a full?
Feel that there. Feel it. Feel the burn.
No, thank you.
You're holding your breath.
Feel it. Feel it right there. You can't see? That's a hump. That's a hump under there. It's a hump. I have a hump. I have a bicep hump.
That's a hump under there. Oh, but now look at what's pouring down on the bottom
what?
There.
All right, I have a water wing. Look, everything basically, it's like going to the lowest point when you have like an over sewer that gets overflown. It flows towards the flap near where my armpit bends down, and I have a little bit of a septic tank of arm fat that falls down there. So the bicep hump is still there, but it doesn't mean I don't have a septic tank that you get pumped.
Yeah,
that's where I need the lipo or something, or Dr. Now.
You are definitely septic on the inside, that's for sure.
I mean, geez, it's got to go somewhere, guys. It's no secret I'm fat, right? Like, that is not some kind of state secret here. And when you're fat, it doesn't just sit in your man boobs or your stomach. There are little pockets around your body where the fat has to filtrate to. One of those happens to be your arm flap underneath your arm near your armpit. I don't know what to tell you. I'd rather have that than the knee overlap. I don't have that. So please. But it doesn't mean the bicep doesn't exist north. Look at what's up north, not south. Mariz's I got a good neighborhood and a bad neighborhood.
Mariz's physique includes the septic tank part of his arm.
Fat guys out there know what I'm talking about. You hide these things. Areas to hide it. You put it away.
But here's the thing. If you do have a septic tank at the bottom of your bicep or the bottom of your arm next to your armpit, you wear a lot of tank tops and basketball jerseys. You're not really hiding anything there.
Yeah, but again, you do reach a point in time when you have a kid and a wife where you stop caring about those things, right? Like, if I go to the beach, the pool, whatever, and, like, somebody wants to make a crack about me, okay, big deal. What does that have any effect on my life anymore?
Yeah, because I know that you were so much more diplomatic about your wardrobe choices 5 years ago. I mean, 5 years ago is one thing. Yeah. I definitely
when
made sure
did
I trust
you care?
My Sunday's best when I went out to the beach.
But I was self-conscious more. I was a big shirt in the pool guy back in the day. Not anymore. Let it rip.
No, you... Mariz, the first year we were on the air together, you went out to Las Vegas. You wore no shirt the entire weekend. You had one chick that thought that she was kind of into you, and you called the entire Vegas Strip a bunch of chubby chasers that were totally into you because you were wearing a king's crown in the pool.
But that's different. You're around people you're never going to see again the rest of your life. You know, 2010, if you go to a local beach by me, oh, I am. I got the Todd McCullough jersey on. I'm hiding, you know, little sleeves underneath.
You have never been shy. You've never, never, ever, ever been anything but ultimately proud of your body and your physique.
There were some dark, bashful times pre-DA show. You don't know Mariz like that. You don't know. You don't know. There were some dark, dark times. Remember, I was beaten with a flower sock and humiliated at one point in my life. There were some definite self-conscious moments when the body comes out.
Are you like Oakley telling me I ain't the one?
I ain't the one. I ain't the one, bro. You don't know Suffolk Community College, Sean.
And now you've recovered from that to take your shirt off willingly at the company
That's
holiday
exactly
party.
Right. Yes.
I should be writing a book. Maybe I should go on a book tour. How to Be Proud of Fat. That should be the title of my book.
What a character.
The Comeback Kid. How to Be Proud of Fat by Sean Mariz. How to go from humiliated by flower sock bullies to wearing no shirt down a slide of the company holiday party.
If you thought the Baylor turnaround was impressive.
Yeah.
Paul Turner to voice that.
Yeah. One of you guys can write the forward.
Mariz is the 28-3 Super Bowl of self-confidence. He celebrates March 28th. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Comeback Kid Day.
Yeah, he used to be the Falcons. Now I'm the Patriots. Yeah. Shirt off at the holiday party.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Are the new yellow and light blue Red Sox jerseys, the City Collection, unveiled by Nike yesterday, awesome or embarrassing? 72% of you said embarrassing. For a cool $435, you can purchase the authentic version of that Boston jersey from the MLB shop. Yes, $435. The Red Sox switched from wearing blue jerseys to red jerseys back in 1908. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. John Sterling needs a new home run call for Jay Bruce, and we have the man to give him some advice, Dave Shepard. Here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
And you give us the Bruce is loose? Come on, John. 82 years of the game? You give us a Bruce is loose? I mean, I could have come up with that, and that's bad. I mean, that's really mailing it in. Frankly, that's like Shep giving you your catchphrases, okay?
Oh.
You know, Mr. Sterling, you're a living legend, okay?
I would make that a better epic fail. I think it could have been a little better.
You're a living legend. I would never tell the great Hall of Fame voice John Sterling what to do. But I was just thinking, for Jay Bruce, what do you think, maybe the Bruce is loose? But I would never want to tell you what to do, but I'm just suggesting the Bruce is loose.
I'd have to think about that. I know we're on air, but I'd really have to analyze that a lot more.
It's not bad, is it? It's not bad, is it?
So Shep has become Chris Rock as well. I think.
I was going to say, he sounds like a blind blues musician. That's what I hear. You're doing your Shep.
It's a good Shep, but it is a little Chris Rock and blind blues magician.
If John, I'm not harder on myself, no one else has to be.
Susan, so nice to see you. You're a beautiful woman.
But I don't mean just any girl. I mean a very special girl.
Of course, I would hold open the door if I could hold open the door for you, Susan. But I'm just not... I just want to talk to John at the moment. John, I just got back from walking with 14 German Shepherds. I just had an idea. I would never want to tell you what to do or what to say.
Dr. J, if I'm not harder on myself, no one else has to be.
But what would you say about Jay Bruce? Listen. Juice. Bruce. Loose. I'm just saying, John, I'm just saying.
Susan, call security. I'll use it to get this guy out of here.
Dating, Joe, and you know this, you're single, and you do well for yourself as supply and demand.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Tomorrow, by the way, the return of Meat on the Bone. Peter Schwartz beat reporter Mraz will give us the update on Peter Schwartz's life, which is always a very important topic to cover here on the DA show. Stunned to a news today was a ketchup packet shortage because so many people are eating out and because restaurants are not using communal squirt bottles anymore or ketchup bottles. They've had to kind of go through all of the resources of the ketchup packets over the last year. And so now there's a problem. There's no more Heinz ketchup packets. People are scrambling. Restaurants are scrambling for generic. Daryl tweets, I ordered popcorn chicken the other day. They gave me squeeze packets of ranch and barbecue instead of the dip packets. This is a real thing that's happening now. Now, Fatty Crackers tweets that it's a house divided where he differs from his wife. He said, my wife is a ketchup snob and only eats Heinz. As a Patrick Mahomes fan, I use Hunt's first now. My wife also will judge and snark on a non-Heinz ketchup place, which is pretty amazing. Now, Brian tweets, this all makes sense. I got a to-go order yesterday, got a handful of ketchup packets from my tots. It was some knockoff brand, and they were only filled maybe halfway at most. Hashtag, where does the ketchup go? So this is happening now, and people are worried. Jay tweets, after hearing this story, Peter Schwartz started digging in his glove box for two-year-old Wendy's ketchup he can sell at markup on eBay.
Ho, ho, ho.
Kevin tweets, try Berman's ketchup. It's an Aldi's brand ketchup, exactly like Heinz, even same shaped bottle. And Boomer says, I'm with Bogues. I'm going immediately after work and buying 10 bottles of Heinz. Mraz, are you concerned right now that there's going to be a ketchup shortage?
I have to get eggs, so there's no doubt I'm getting at least two big bottles of Heinz probably right after the show today. Absolutely.
DJ Tommy D tweets, I'm applying for the ketchup guy position at Bob's Bar. I promise to give everyone a fair squirt and keep Mama Mraz away from the clams oregano. LOL, bonus duty for the safety of others. So the two most important things at Bob's Bar, making sure everyone gets a fair squirt and keeping Mama Mraz away from the clams oregano, which got her into trouble at that wedding a couple of years ago where she had to blame
Mama Mraz. Sean in trouble.
That will do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel and Audio Director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines and Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Tomorrow morning, Pete Prisco is going to join us on the show. We'll talk NFL draft with him. Also coming up on tomorrow's show, we've got Meat on the Bone and The Miz drops by. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnects.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.